Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Triple F Forever Family Foundation. Say that real fast. We gather here every month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on many topics related to consciousness, spirituality, the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, your host. Been doing this for a couple of years now. Very excited to welcome Renee Buck back to the show. Renee is a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation, who as a child had out-of-body experiences, prophetic dreams, and visits from spirits. After a couple of family tragedies, she began a lifelong quest to answer questions around the issues of death and what is our purpose on Earth. It wasn't until she was in her 40s that she began to consciously develop her gift, and did so by visiting spiritualist churches, and eventually began to understand the science of mediumship and the art of interpreting symbols conveyed by those no longer in the physical. She maintains a practice in Minnesota, and her website is whispersfromthelight.com. And our show, ladies and gentlemen, as always, commercial free. So sit back, put your feet up, get a drink on us, and curl up with a loved one and just, you know, enjoy. And oh, yes, just wanted to let you know that Renee is here tonight with us to talk about mediumship. It's a completely different thing to actually do practice the mediumship. So she's not going to be doing any readings tonight. This show is just, you know, for educational purposes only. So with having said all of that, if you have any questions, you can call in, please, at 1-888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Renee, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roman. I'm so happy to be here again.
Yeah, happy to have you back. It's been about a year, maybe December 2023, I think, is the last time that I heard your beautiful voice.
And I remember we had a nice evening together.
Oh, we sure did. It was the fastest hour ever. Good stuff. Hey, before we start anything, I just want to, you know, for our Floridian listeners out there, my heart goes out to you. I hope you guys, you know, didn't sustain too much damage. I've seen videos, and holy crap, this is it's the worst thing I've ever seen in terms of, you know, storms and all of that.
Tragic.
Yeah. Do you have any people that you know, family, friends that live in that area that were affected by this storm?
You know, I don't have anyone living down there. I have some friends that have second homes down there, and I'm waiting to hear what the verdict is on some of those. But luckily, no one was hurt. You know, feeling blessed for that.
Yeah. I think the storm, the water surge wasn't as high as they thought it was going to be. So, and that's where wind is bad, but water, that's what kills people.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, we have a bunch of questions that we have tabulated from listeners, and we can start with those and see where it leads. How's that sound?
Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. So, first question is from me. we're in October. I consider the prettiest season, and it is my, you know, fall is my favorite season. I love the changing colors and everything. Mm-hmm. And since, you know, Western society is considered to be, you know, October is considered to be spooky in Western society, you know, the Halloween decorum parties, heightened interest in the occult, all that kind of stuff. Does that affect anything on the spirit side? Do they come out more in numbers in October or Halloween, you know, around Halloween or anything like that? What can you say about that?
I personally have not noticed. I think that, you know, there are more spirit circles. There's more interest in mm-hmm. people holding these things during October. Yep. So as mm-hmm. a result, more spirit activity. But I think that the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and, you know, Hanukkah, when families are coming together, that's when there's more spirit activity, more so than Halloween, which is more playful. But yeah, so I would differentiate those two kinds of holidays.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I was looking at your website, really nice website, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And there's a section on whispers. You get into whispers.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with that term? And tell me, what is that? Well, tell our audience, what does that mean?
Whispers from the light. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I was starting in mediumship, mm-hmm. You know, you're focusing so hard to get some kind of a message from spirit, whether it's visually or you know, an auditory, inner auditory message or some other form of communication. And it's always like a whisper, a faintness compared to a typical kind of communication, which is very vivid and loud or brash or bright. Mm-hmm. And so communications coming in from spirit is generally very subtle, like a whisper. Mm-hmm. But when I think of whisper, I don't think of it just as something auditory, but all of, you know, any of the senses engaged, a whisper of that sensory information.
Okay. So receiving information, but like very kind of like quietly.
Quietly, yes. So if it's visual, you know, a whisper would be, you know, it's always a little bit fuzzy, right? And so you have to focus on getting the clarity. And mm-hmm. and if you're hearing, it's, you know, it's soft, or you get part of a sentence, or you get, you know, a word here or there, you know, sensory. Yeah, yeah mm-hmm. You know, you get it. You understand what I'm saying. So,
I understand. Yep, absolutely. And I think a lot of people get whispers, but they just don't hear them, you know?
Yes, so it's right.
A matter of tuning into it. And do you think anybody can do this if they practice hard enough?
I think everybody, yes, has the ability. We're all, you know, sort of wired. We have an antenna at the top of our head. The mm-hmm. crown chakra operates as our antenna, but, you know, different people's antennas are more finely tuned or, just like a louder broadcast, if you will, you know, like a more powerful mm-hmm. antenna tower is going to broadcast further or more easily. So, you know, we all are wired for it, but some people will have a greater aptitude than others.
Right. Okay. So, that makes complete sense. And I'm still, the questions are still like my curiosity type questions, stuff that I saw on your website. I see that you do regression analysis. Mm-hmm. I am so fascinated with regression. So yeah, tell
it
us.
It is fascinating.
Tell us, like, give it, you know, without revealing any clients or anything like that. Tell us how you do it, like what you do with your client to take them through their regression.
Into the regression. Well, it's, you know, past life or life between life regression is hypnosis.
Yep.
So, you know, you're gradually bringing your client to a deeper and deeper level of consciousness, but not so deep that they can't still speak. But deep enough that they can have their own sensory experience and see things and feel things and hear things in that experience. So in a regression, you know, it's the client who's having the direct connection to the information of their, whether it's childhood or their past life or even their time between lives on the other side. Mm-hmm. They're having the direct connection and reporting it to the hypnotist, me, right? So, yeah. You know, I'm recording and I'm, you know, asking more questions. That's assuming that it's a one-on-one where I can have a conversation with them. If it's a group regression, then I have a set of questions that will direct the group, the participants, toward a lifetime that, for example, reveals some history with a particular relationship that they are having in this life, and what is the history of that relationship, or maybe a persistent health issue that doesn't seem to have a clear source or a physiological source. Right. So we may be exploring, you know, health issues through past lives or spiritual path, I guess spiritual development or paths through lifetimes.
Do the clients remember what was said to them if they're in that deeper state of consciousness? Is that why you record so they can, you can play it?
Yes, right. So when they first come out, they will remember. They'll be able to talk about it. You know, it'll be like, yeah, they'll. It's like a dream where you first wake up and you remember the dream and it's clear, and then it starts fading. You don't think it will fade, but it does fade.
Oh, yeah.
And so then they can go back later and listen to the recording, and pick up those pieces, you know, as they fade. And a lot of times, you know, just like with a mediumship reading, not everything is going to completely connect or make sense. Like, it won't always resonate. Like, why did you go to that kind of a life? Or what's the connection to this one, you know, until later, right? So those connections are revealed sometimes over time.
Of course. Yeah, that makes complete sense. And when they regress, and let's say they had a regression to a different lifetime, is it always back on this earth or maybe in another place, or how does that work? What has been your experience with that?
Yeah, you know what? It's almost always for me, I think it's almost always on earth. But there are other, you know, hypnotherapists that have regressed people to other places. But as souls, you know, we tend to have a preference for one kind of environment over another.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah. And so people who come to Earth like to come back again and again, because it's easier to build lifetime to lifetime in terms of experience and growth and learning when the environment is the same. Like, you're holding that variable steady you're working on, you know, these other aspects of your soul development. So if you're changing around to a lot of different types of existence, then it's a little hard to compare or, you know, understand your learning lifetime to lifetime.
I mean, this is, you know, being on Earth, it's the school of hard knocks.
It is. I think it's the toughest. It's the most, it's the lowest vibration, if you will. It's the most solid. And we have to work hard to manifest the things that we seek in life. And we have to work hard to listen to our own inner guidance systems too, right? In these physical bodies, we have to pay attention to what the body is telling us, or what, you know, how spirit might be amplifying those signals within. So it's a challenge.
Now, these are regressions. How often do you, these multiple lives that souls seem to have, is there a limit? I mean, at some point, does the spirit say, okay, I don't want to go back to Earth I kind of know everything. I've seen it all, done it all. I mean, assuming that spirit has incarnated like a dozen times or something like that. My question is there a time when like, all right, you've seen it all, no more, you know, anything?
Yeah. So I, you know, if people are interested in this, I would definitely recommend Dr. Michael Newton's work and his two books, Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls. And, you know, what I, you know, he talks about how souls move through levels of development and advancement as a soul. And he said that in his work, it's not common to come upon those souls that are at a really high level of development, because they're not the ones that feel like they need, you know, a therapist, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
He wasn't quite sure why he doesn't come upon them, but, but yeah, so, but from what his clients, and actually I've never really probed that too much with my own clients, but in the clients that he probed regarding that, you know, they all spoke about, you know, moving through these levels and then ultimately going through there's a certain word for it, it escapes me right now, but basically you're merging back into source energy. You're starting from source, and moving through all these sort of levels of development, and growth and interest. And then when you reach that really high spiritual level, you merge back into source, with all of the information and all of the knowledge and all of the learning that you have gathered. And in that way, source energy or God or however you want to characterize that, that energy rises as well. Right. So.
Right. Yeah. I'll refer to it as God, cause I'm Christian, I'm a Catholic, but I heard that, you know, I read somewhere that God in all his wisdom decided to, you know, split his consciousnesses, consciousness into zillions of conscious, so he can gather all that information and assimilate it all back, kind of thing. And
exactly. That's what, yeah. So we're all little sparks of God, if you will, our souls, and we keep learning and growing and serving each other for the greater good. And the greater good comes right back to source or back to God. Yeah.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of a beautiful cycle. I know when I first read about this, I was like, what? You know, I have to lose my identity again? Like that seemed a little hard.
We're talking about, you know, millennia, you know, a long time. I mean,
right. So right. Thousands and thousands of lives. I think many souls live many, many lives. One thing that I found interesting, I listened to Journey of Souls. I read it and then listened to it again just in the last year. Mm-hmm. And something that stood out to me that I had sort of forgotten when I first read was that the time distance between a soul's lifetimes is getting shorter. So it used to be that, you know, through the, 16, 17, 1800s that people, you know, souls might wait 100 years before they came back. Right.
Yep.
But now they're coming back more quickly.
Faster,
and
huh?
Yeah, that's, it's interesting. And he wasn't real sure what to attribute that to, except that maybe there are more bodies. And so, you know, more opportunities for souls to come back.
That is true.
It's probably a math problem, but he did say, you know, we're never going to run out of souls though. So don't worry about that. So that's a good thought.
I'm sure. I'm just wondering like what souls used to do, a couple of 100,000 years ago, I'm not sure exactly, before people were walking the earth. Did they go to planet? They go to another?
Yeah, there's all these other, planets or dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of other opportunities.
Yeah,
I think that,
absolutely.
you know, the density of this planet is a little bit unique, at least, you know, in our solar system. But, you know, there are hundreds, thousands, I don't know how many solar systems, right? In the universe.
There's billions of solar systems, and within those there's billions of, you know, galaxy. I don't even think we even know. We can guess, you know, you got a lot of smart people there. It's a lot to think that we're the only ones. Some people some people say, you know, we're the center of everything. No, we're not. There's so much more out there. Hey, I also see that you you deal a lot with the Akashic records. That's another fascinating thing.
Mm-hmm.
Tell our listeners what that is, the Akashic records. I know a lot of our listeners know, but we might have some newbies that might, you know, have a nice introduction to it.
Okay. Well, it's very much related to past lives and past life exploration. An Akashic record is the record of your soul, right? Rather than just this life, this, you know, and your book of life for this current existence or incarnation, your Akashic record is the record of your soul through all of your various lifetimes. And even carries, because time is, it's not linear, as you know, it's not necessarily chronological. Sort of loops back around.
It is just on Earth in the physical, because
exactly, you
know, the Earth revolves around the sun and the moon and the days and the planet spins, and we had to measure it some way. So time,
it's a man-made
construct. It's a man-made construct.
It's a linear. Yeah, it's a linear construct. That's like the rule. One of the rules of Earth, right, is the linear construct of time. So, but our souls can, you know, move about in time. And so an Akashic Records reading, the only thing that's really different from a messages from loved one or a regular reading is that we're talking with like the librarian of your soul's history, if you will. The master of your Akashic Records, or the guardian of your record, is really sort of like your librarian.
Do you have your own master? Like, maybe another medium would have their own master, or do you talk to the same person or the same entity?
Oh no, I think there's probably a lot of them. In fact, I know there are a lot of different. Yeah, they probably have like caseloads or something.
Well, there's a lot of Akashic records, because I heard every single drop of rain is recorded, every single blade of grass, every single grain of sand. It's all in the records.
Right.
The Akashic record contains everything.
Yeah.
Which is
so, so when it comes to us, right, it's every thought, every deed, every experience, every relationship, and through lifetime. So it's a lot of information. And so what I do to prepare my client for that is have them think about, you know, some questions that they really want to probe that tie to this life, but would have a source or origin or a motivation in another life, or just at a soul's level. Like, you know, why is this pattern continuing to happen in my life? I can't seem to get past it. Like, that's a great question for the Akashic Records, because then your guardian or librarian can say, well, this is a challenge that you set up for yourself in this life. Here's some history in these other lifetimes and how you managed them, but, you know, in this life, this is something that you set up and something that you want to learn from, and it's a challenge that your soul believes you can get through. So it's like that. It's very interesting. It's very guiding, I think. It's specific and also kind of profound.
Start thinking
about your life way beyond, much, you know, far beyond just like this body in this time, in this place, in this family. We're just like a little drop in the ocean of our soul's existence, right?
Absolutely.
Here and now.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's get to some of our readers' questions. Does the manner in which somebody dies affect their ability to make contact with you? For example, accident versus an illness, that kind of thing. That's one of our, does it make a difference how they die? Does that affect?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Okay. And, somebody else wrote, do you continue to receive mediumistic information when you're not doing readings?
Well, this morning, before my reading, oftentimes, like in the 15 minutes before reading, I'll be basically inviting the loved ones of my client to come in. And so I'll be talking to them and saying, please come in. Let's have a great reading for my client. And so this morning, as I was making my bed, I felt the male energy. And what popped into my head, it was a man named Jose, who was my contractor, my house contractor in Massachusetts when I lived there. And I was like, why is Jose popping in? It must be somebody a spirit that's going to come in that has a name Jose. And that was exactly the case. So they will start kind of greasing the wheels, so to speak, before I even get started. Yeah. And then sometimes right after a reading, if there's something that I didn't fully explain or clarify, because sometimes so much information is coming in all at once and it's multi-sensory. Right. They will come and remind me. They're like, hey, remember this thing? You didn't tell them. And so I'll go back and I'll send a text saying, you know what? There's one more piece, blah, blah, blah. Like, here it is. Or sometimes, what was it this week too, earlier? There was some, what day is today? Thursday? So this must have been Tuesday or maybe Saturday. Mm-hmm. The woman that I did a reading for had an animal named Roscoe. Oh, no, not an animal. I'm sorry. Had a family named Roscoe. And about within 15 minutes after my reading, I was, checking my phone and I went to, I don't know, Threads or something, some social media thing. And there was someone talking about a cat named Roscoe that their father in spirit, had led to them. And so, I mean, and this woman, had a father in spirit. Like, so it was all, it's like they want to keep the connection going and they'll put things like right in front of me to pass on. So that's not an uncommon thing to happen. But generally, when I'm kind of just going through, through life, I consciously close down. Mm-hmm. And because it's just not healthy to be wide open. So, right. I ground and close my crown. And so I don't really get... I don't get tapped on to do more. So it's just before and after.
And that can give you some privacy too. Like, let's say you're, taking a shower or, making love, whatever. you don't want spirit around for that, right?
That's right. Well, there's a privacy shield, so I don't worry too much about that. But yeah, I know that spirit is regularly, like the morning of or the day before, like their people are around in my apartment because they're checking out what I'm doing, what I'm watching on TV. Like, they're looking at stuff that they can use in the reading, the next day or the next hour or like whenever.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So that will regularly.
Now, do you see them? You said it's like a whisper kind of, right? So you would see faint images kind of like ghostly, or how do you see them? Are you clairaudient, clairsentient, clairvoyant?
So I work mostly clairvoyantly and clairsentiently.
Okay.
So vision and sensing, feeling, and depending on the spirit, I can hear a lot or nothing at all. So every reading is a little bit different.
Yeah.
It's generally somewhere in the middle, or as the reading goes on, I start to hear more. But it's often very cryptic, like an idiom or a song lyric or the name of a book, or something like that, that will come in that will be, you know, significant to whatever we're talking about.
Right. There's just so many things that you got to kind of pay attention to, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, being aware of of this sensory information, or even just being aware of like what's in your own surroundings that people, you know, that spirit could use. It's sort of an ongoing conscious process of being in the, sort of being fully aware of your external senses and your internal senses. That makes sense.
So kind of on the same topic, somebody else wrote in, this whole connecting with afterlife is new to me, but I only get messages when I'm in between being awake and being asleep. I'm not sure how to develop this further. Is this normal?
Mm-hmm. That is normal. Mm-hmm. And that is when spirit will first connect, because you're in that same mode of brain, you know, the brain wave that you would be in a subtle hypnosis, right? So your brain is sort of open to spirit. It's before you're fully conscious. And that is the same as when you're in meditation, and the same as when you're doing mediumship. So if that's happening a lot with someone, then I would say they're probably ready to develop their mediumship, you know, to sort of bring that to the next step into consciousness.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? This question just popped into my mind. I don't know why, but I've never asked it before. Being on some kind of substance, be it alcohol or drugs or anything like that, not saying that you've ever experienced this, but maybe you might know the answer to this. Does that adversely affect mediumship, like the ability to communicate with spirit?
Yes and no. I think it sort of opens the mind, but it also lowers your vibration. So, right. And so we, you know, our goal in a mediumship session is to raise our vibrations to meet spirit in the light, right? Because they are operating at a much higher vibration. Yeah. But when you're lowering your vibration, the chances of connecting with spirits who maybe haven't crossed over is higher. Right. So, those two things shouldn't go together. Like alcohol, drugs, and mediumship shouldn't go together.
Right. I just, you know, it just popped in my head, and that's probably a question that's never been asked before, because you guys, you know, never have I seen a medium be drunk or, you know, drugged.
Yeah. Or at a drinking party, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking if you ever heard of something. I mean, you can go even deeper, like what's his name, Graham, something. This guy, author, his name is something Graham. He went and, you know, he did the ayahuasca trip. You heard of the ayahuasca?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never done it though.
I'm too chicken to do it. I would love to try to do it, but I'm all the vomiting and the diarrhea when you ingest stuff. I just want to do it. I read the books on that, and it's awful to get to that state, but once you're there, you meet this big serpent that controls the universe or something like that. It's crazy.
Does everyone have the same experience?
Yes, everyone that takes ayahuasca meets everyone.
Seriously,
I've read a reading where they haven't. They've met that, and it's a beautiful serpent. It's a big serpent that.
Like a dragon or something.
Yeah, very knowledgeable, extremely knowledgeable, and kind of like a protector of the world and whatever that kind of. I mean, I read these books a decade ago, so my recollection isn't that good. But I remember that part, and I read a couple of books from different authors that did the ayahuasca thing, and everyone's the same. They all meet the serpent. It's crazy, huh?
Oh, that's very, very interesting. So. This herb is taking them to it all to the same place.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
To meet. Very interesting. Hadn't heard that.
It's two herbs combination, because you take one herb. It's actually one herb that does it, But our stomach receptors completely kill anything. So you have to take this other herb to stop our receptors from stopping the ayahuasca. So it's a
I see.
combination, and it's not the ayahuasca that's bad, the plant. It's that other stuff that you have to take with it so that the inhibitors are silenced, so that effect, you know what I mean? Yeah,
So I wonder if it, I wonder if that process takes everybody to the same vibrational level, which is like the portal to this other dimension where this serpent is, or whatever this entity is. Like, seems like if you're all having the same experience, it's some kind of a dimensional, vibrational,
But it has been proven to cure like a lot of people that have like mental issues that are like neurotic or psychotic, and they have some kind of psychosis. Experiencing that completely cured them, you know.
Cool.
It's a really cool thing. I'm still too scared to try it. Give it to me in a pill form, then I'll try it.
Yeah, right. Make it a little happier.
Let's go to another question.
Okay.
After one has experienced a positive reading and a connection to a loved one on the other side, how best does one meditate, pray, or understand how to be more intentional about asking for and receiving signs from that person in day, in their daily lives?
Well,
What do you think?
it's pretty straightforward. Like, you just talk to them like they're there because they are. And so, I mean, I think one of, what a lot of spirits bring through is the invitation to the sitter to like write on a piece of paper a single question, or a single request, and to put that out and to meditate on it and to think it out, think about it, put it on a sticky on your bathroom, mirror, or and so sort of keep it there and then just wait. And then you let it go. Like, you keep it there and then let it go. And then let them respond in the way that they want to. But consistency is important. Like, if you're asking, should I move to Chicago? And then the next day, should I move to Philadelphia? And then it's, should I, what about Chicago? And what about, like, if you're inconsistent, they don't know how to respond. They can't, like, you're not gonna understand. So be consistent. Decide the question that you want to ask and ask the same question.
That, that's that's some good advice. Very good advice. I think you have to be patient too. Just and patient, because spirit answers the way that they answer, and it's
In their time.
usually not the way that you expect it to be, you know?
That's right. Like, you have to just like let it go and just let them do their thing. It could come in through a person, it could come through the TV, it could come on a billboard, it could come, anywhere.
You heard of EVP, electronic voice phenomenon, on people's phone messages and recordings and stuff like that. I actually tried doing that to contact my son, I mean, a long time ago. And I tried the experiment for a week, and I do have a recording of my son saying, "I'm here." He that's
Really?
yeah yeah I have it on a digital recorder, but it's pretty it's not the clearest message, but it's "I'm here." I had to, you know, do some I'm a musician. I have some sound
Some,
enhancing
yep.
equipment, and yeah, I actually got
But it
it,
was
and
pretty clear. Oh,
it was pretty
nice.
clear. It was kind of cool. And he also showed up posthumously in a picture, in a photograph, so that was kind of cool also. So
Really?
it's one that I shared with Bob and Fran. They saw it too a long time ago. I showed it up to them.
That's it's amazing what spirit can do, right? Like, they're
He showed up
so
as an
determined.
orb, just as an orb on my heart, right on my heart. And when I blew up the orb, you can see his face with
In the
angel,
orb.
with angel wings.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, really cool. So, and it's not even, you don't even have to, like in that picture, you don't even have to guess. You see it clear as day
It's
right
really
away.
clear.
Yeah,
Wow.
super clear.
That's so exciting, isn't
Crazy.
it? It's
Yeah.
so and just so calming.
Yeah, absolutely. So, somebody else writes, might spirits impersonate someone and tell lies without the person or medium suspecting? If any mediums claim they can know this, can they explain how they determine this and what percentage of such do they know for sure or that they think they know? This is poorly written, but that was the
Yeah,
question.
I don't think
I
I
think I got
understand
the
the
message.
question.
Yeah. So, what's your take on that?
I don't think I understood the question.
Okay, well, the way that I understand it, do you ever get spirits that impersonate other spirits or, impersonate other beings?
No, I no.
No,
Well,
you've never had that,
I
huh?
mean, I'm sometimes, but you wouldn't know that, but I don't think so. Like,
Yeah,
I
like
don't
how
know
would you know, right?
what would be the point. Yeah, you wouldn't really know, but what would be the point of them doing that?
Yeah,
Yeah. Well,
well.
actually, you know what? I have to go. I might have to go back to when I was first opening as a medium. I was not being very safe with my practice, and my teachers hadn't really taught me how to be safe when I was on my own. And so I was so enthusiastic because things were coming through, and so I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't being very protective of, putting light around me each time and all that. And there was an energy that, and this is just to me, it's not, to anybody else, but that I thought was my sister, Susie, in spirit, but it turned out to not be her. And I realized that when I was doing some automatic writing, and she said that she was Susie, but then she started asking me questions about things that my sister would certainly know, right? So I was like, wait a minute, who is this? And so I felt like I was a little bit tricked, but it did turn out to be, an earthbound spirit, and I talked to my teacher, and we figured out how to
What do you
help her
mean by
cross over.
what do you mean by okay, earthbound means stuck on earth that they can't go to the light kind of thing?
Right. Yeah, a little lost, right?
Wow. Isn't
Um,
that like
and
and that's those are ghosts, right? Isn't that
yes,
the
right,
definition of a ghost?
exactly. Yeah. Like a ghost. Yes. And so it scared me though, because I thought, well, wait a minute, I thought I was communicating with my sister. It's not my sister. And so, again, I spoke with my teacher, who's now in spirit, and so she's like, "We call that rescue work, the old spiritualists, and this is what we do." And so we just, when she connected in with me again, we guided her. I had brought friends over. I didn't want to do this by myself.
By
And
yourself,
so,
yeah, of course.
yeah, and I was only like 3 months into my first mediumship class ever, right? So my energy was kind of all over the place. And like I said, I wasn't being very safe when I was doing things at home that I shouldn't have been doing. But anyway,
So
we helped her
you
cross
didn't have
over.
a rope going through the TV, right? Just like in the movie there, the Poltergeist, that TV.
No, nothing crazy like that. No. Yeah, it was just sick. It was coming through, like I said, through automatic writing. And when she just started asking me questions like, "What's the name of your cat? What's the name of the water?" Meaning I was right by a bay, right, in northern Massachusetts, or the
That brings up
North Shore of Massachusetts. Yeah.
that kind of brings up a topic about you're talking about being scared when you started off when you're being alone and stuff like that. Ouija boards are really popular, and a lot of people use those things alone. What's your take on that? What do you think?
I would not use it
Playing with
alone.
fire? Playing with fire, huh? Using it alone?
Yeah, it is. That's something that it's an oracle, like pendulum or, anything else. It's, oracles are should be used with people and with in light. So you're inviting spirit in the light, just like with mediumship. You're inviting only those spirits who are in the light, those who come in love, who know you. And if you are working with them properly and safely, then it's fine, but not alone. Again, you should, there's no reason to be doing any of that alone.
No, I mean, some people are just, you know, fascinated with that, you know, there are phases, I guess, you know, like, see, like, you know, people like goth, dressed in goth type of, you know, doing that, you know, just to, you know, experiment. But most people like phase out of it.
I mean, I understand the allure because I did it. it was like fascinating to me. And so I was trying all kinds of stuff.
But you didn't do it alone. You did it with somebody else.
But, well, I was doing some things alone, which is when I started attracting earthbound spirits.
Right? Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So that's the message here is that using, like I said, you know, whether it's automatic writing or whether it's a pendulum or Ouija board or anything like that, you shouldn't be doing that by yourself.
What do you use to hypnotize your clients, by the way? I wanted to ask you that earlier. I forgot.
Oh, it's just my voice. I don't use any kind of device or anything like that. They just close their eyes and I
going back and forth.
I'm sorry?
No pocket watch going back and forth?
No. I don't use anything. Okay. I mean, that is one form of induction. There's a couple different forms of induction, but I just use the typical meditation kind of, you know, talking them deeper and deeper.
Yeah, some hypnotists, they use like EMDR, which is that's the, you know, where the eyes go left and right.
Rapid eye movement. Something.
Yeah, desensitization technique. Yeah, that's pretty interesting stuff also.
I tried
it and it didn't work on me, but apparently it's a very strong thing. You know, it worked on a lot of Vietnam War veterans. That's when it was developed by that Alan Botkin. That developed it, and he's got some pretty good books on it. And one of his students lives like right down the street from me and was my therapist for a while, like soon after my son passed away, you know. So it's just crazy how everything is like, you know. Well, I'm sure you know Mohana. There's this Dr. Mohana. She goes to a lot of the retreats with the Forever Family. Mm-hmm. She's wonderful, incredibly good therapist that, you know, she's a university professor, really, really skilled and very, very well respected, but, you know, totally does an EMDR and she's really good at it. And well,
interesting.
It didn't work on me, but I've seen results and it's amazing.
Yeah. Some people are just much more susceptible to hypnosis than others, and
absolutely, you know,
we're all different.
Well, I have another person that wrote in here. Several months ago I lost my wife, my soulmate. It was tragic, sudden and completely unexpected. We knew each other for many years but never talked at any length or seriousness about an afterlife or, for that matter, anything paranormal. Certainly I never recall her discussing a belief in anything beyond the five senses or in the afterlife. However, since she passed, she's been sending me sign after sign after sign. She's appeared in dreams and she's interceding on my behalf at crucial occasions as I try to cope with her loss and somehow figure out how to go on with my life. So my question is, how is that my wife is able to communicate so often and so well, despite the fact that she never put much or any stock in anything beyond this physical realm? I don't know what kind of question it just is, right?
Well, I mean, it's just sort of like what trying to understand why the dichotomy, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess what I would say is that her purpose in this lifetime was not to spend time exploring spirituality. It was
pragmatic.
Just sort of being in the here and now. But that doesn't mean that when she crosses over that she isn't brought back to her full soul self and understanding what's possible. So,
do you think a part of our soul is still in spirit and like just part of it is?
I do. Dr. Newton talks about that as well. He says that he calls it the life quotient or something like that. But he said that we generally leave a percentage of our souls on the other side. And then, you know, bring the rest down in one life, sometimes two, if we're maybe a little more advanced on our, in our spiritual development, we might try two lives that might overlap. Wow. But there's always a part of us.
Imagine making a movie about that. How would you even go about doing that? Two lives overlapping with a spirit still in spirit, part of it here, part of it. Wow, that would be so confusing.
I know, it's very interesting. Yeah. Doctor, speaking of hypnosis, do you know who Dick Sutphin is?
No, that's a new name to me.
He's a rather famous hypnotherapist.
Okay.
This was years ago when I went to the National Guild for Hypnotists or something like that, their annual conference.
Okay.
And he did a session on parallel lives. So that's what we would call parallel lives.
Parallel lives.
And and hypnotized the whole room to one parallel life and then another, just so we could see if we are living other lifetimes, you know, concurrently. And I did see two other lifetimes, very different from this life. In one, I was a little girl on a farm, you know, tromping around the countryside. I was probably like between seven and eight with my dog, climbing over people's fences, not really caring about boundaries, just kind of makes sense for me.
Right.
And then the other lifetime was me in France as like a personal assistant to a rather wealthy young Frenchman in this like country estate. And all I had to do was, you know, to take care of him, put out his clothes and manage his calendar. And it was like a very simple life. But I was a gay man in my 50s, like mid 50s. And I was like, wow, that's fascinating. I'm a gay man and a little girl besides this life. It kind of makes sense. Like, you know, like I am, you know, I'm a straight woman in this body, but I really care about LGBTQ rights. Like, I'm passionate about that. And it occurs to me that that's because there's another part of me living a life as a gay man in France. It's kind of like there's always like flow through, right? I mean, that's the whole point of living, you know, other parallel lives, if you will, is that they will support each other and provide inspiration for each other.
I tried to regress myself back using a technique from, it wasn't from Newton's book. It was from
Brian Weiss?
Yeah, it was from
Brian
him.
Weiss.
One was an apprentice of the other, right? Like one studied from the other.
No, I think they were just separate. Brian Weiss focused mostly on past life, and Dr. Newton mostly life between lives.
Okay. Well, anyways, it was the other guy because I did his technique, and I just saw an old pair of construction boots. That's it. That's all I saw.
That's all you saw?
An old pair of construction boots.
Construction boots. Yep. Okay, so
I'm thinking maybe in a past life I was like a coal miner or something, or you know, like they were really dirty and mangled and really soiled and torn. They were in real bad shape.
So, and you weren't able to go further than seeing your shoes?
No, I wasn't, unfortunately.
It surprised you right out of it? Yeah.
And I had an OBE, and my OBE lasted like for 3 seconds because it's like, holy crap, I see my body and I'm right back in.
And then you're right back in. Yes, as soon as, your conscious surprise kicks in, then boop, you're back.
I know. Yeah, you just got to let it flow. You know, it's
you
crazy.
Have to let it flow. Not be surprised by anything. Yeah,
it's hard. Though,
my first time when I did that, what you did the first time I tried it, I think that was for me. It was I had bought Past Life Regression for Idiots. You know, one of those books.
Oh.
And I listened, there was a CD with it and I listened to it. And in that one, you know, you put up a mirror in front of you and I didn't really know what to expect, but I didn't expect that I would see myself as a man, but I was like this Viking kind of guy, this great big, huge blonde guy, back in the times of the Vikings. And I was like, And then I shocked myself right out of it. So that was that. That's as
Yeah,
far as
exactly.
that's
That's the
far as I
thing with
got.
experiences. You see something like that, and poof, it's gone because you're like, holy crap, what just happened?
I know. I'm not a big blonde guy. Yeah. It
I know, it's
is
crazy,
funny.
yeah. Yeah.
It's
So
but it's amazing though too.
let's spend the last little while talking about your practice and how can people get a hold of you and what is your how far are you booked and that kind of stuff. Let's
Yeah,
plug.
so if anybody's interested in a reading, whispersfromthelight.com is my website. There's you can look under services to see the different kinds of readings, and then under appointments you can fill out an appointment request. Right now I'm booking, I think, early December or so, right around there. And yeah, I think the exciting thing for me in this past year is, and I don't know if we, I think we might have talked about it last year, but I held two retreats, two mediumship development retreats this past year, one in May in Minnesota and one in Italy in August.
Nice.
And those were really awesome, really exciting. It was so fun
Wow.
to get back in
Especially
the
the Italy
classroom.
one. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, it was an amazing place. Yeah. People can read about those. I put a blog post up about each one, but yeah, it's really, exciting to work with people who are like real beginners. That the first group, the May group, was like mostly beginners, not everybody, but some had some foundation in different areas. And then the Italy group turned out to be a little more advanced. They'd all had, one class or more, or different types of like related kind of classes under their belt. And so we were able to really go far in a week.
They
And
have
it
some
was.
wine in them. That's why they're so good.
They had some, well, on the very last night we did have wine, but yeah,
Very good.
unfortunately, because we were actually staying at a vineyard. And we
I
didn't
knew.
drink
I
wine
knew it.
all week
I knew it.
until
I
you
knew
knew
it.
it until the last night.
That's why I
Yeah.
said what I said. Yeah, absolutely. I've been
But
told that I have a psychometry. I can do psychometry where you hold an object and you can
yeah.
make like. I went to a mediumship lesson thing in a school, and I did that and freaked my partner out because she gave me her this ring, and I said, "John," and it was her grandfather's ring. His name was John, so I
John.
guessed it.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah. See, it's really amazing to be able to do that in person. And so it was really like people were so surprised at what they were capable of. And so now, anybody that does a retreat with me can sign up for my online classes. I'm only doing online classes for those people who've gone through a retreat. So I know them, I've worked with them.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so that's yeah, it's been fun. It I mean, pre-COVID was the last time I had classes, so it's nice to get back into the
Yeah.
classroom and work with people and
Absolutely.
developing their abilities. Yeah, it's kind of
Yeah.
magical.
Well, Renee, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and like this hour just flew by.
It did. It always does. It's always fun with you, Roman.
Yeah,
So thank
and it's
you.
always fun with you. And what are your how far out are you booked?
Yeah, right now I think I'm just about to start December.
Just about to start December. Okay. And
Yeah.
you do more than like one, you do multiple readings in a day?
Generally not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Three to four
exhausting.
is really my max. A
Okay,
week.
three to
Three to four
four.
a week. I'm sorry. Three to
Three to
four a
four a
week.
week. Okay. Three to
Not a
four a
day.
day. Wow.
I'd be
Where's your
dead.
Superman costume? Holy cow. But no, that's great. And hey, say hi to Tim Waltz for me, right?
will.
Yeah,
I
I love
will. We're
that
so
guy.
proud of him.
I love that guy. He's
Yeah, I
amazing.
do too. He's awesome. He's done so
So
much for our state too.
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, I can't wait to, get back with you again, maybe in a couple of months, a year, whatever. And in the meantime, thank you again so much, and all the best to you, Renee.
Yeah, same to you. Take care,
Okay.
Roman.
Thank you, and good night, everybody.